Hey, it's me, Richie T, here. And before we get started into the second and third block of the Cultural Hall, where we visit with the folks from Mormons Building Bridges, I wanted to take a second and let you know some of the cool things that are going on here in the Cultural Hall. First of all, we do plan on this year, 2014, having a big celebration. It'll be a summertime Monday night celebration, so look forward to that. We'll tell you about it here on the show and then also on our Facebook pages, where you can go to facebook.com/thecultural hall. You can find us on Twitter at The Cultural Hall, and you can find us on Pinterest and Google+. We do all that. It's the best bet. Search The Cultural Hall. So I wanted to let you know that that's coming up. Also wanted to let you know that every time that you review us on iTunes or also on Stitcher, we appreciate it. It helps our ranking on both of those, which helps us to be able to be found more, which helps us to be able to get bigger guests, and which helps us to build a community, which we are really proud of. We've had a phenomenal January, and thank everyone who has now found the Cultural Hall to continue to follow us and see what we're doing. If you ever have questions, something that you've just always kind of wondered about the Cultural Hall, you're more than welcome to send those. It's just richie@theculturalhall.com, or you can go to the Contact Us page at theculturalhall.com. If there's guests you'd like to suggest, if there's a beef that you have with something that's mentioned in one or many of the episodes, you can always get in touch with us there, and we want to talk about those. We want to work them out, throw them out there in the open. If there's more of something that you'd like to hear or less of something, we'd love to hear about that as well. Also, something exciting coming up in the month of February, we are going to have a t-shirt that will be available for purchase at theculturalhall.com. It's a little kitschy. It's funny. Maybe we'll do it again if it goes well. But we're looking forward to having that out there as we continue to build this network and this community. So if there are things that you think that we should be doing that we're not, if there are things that you would wish that we would stop doing, we would love to have your feedback. Also, make sure and give us a review. We'd love to have that that feedback where other people can see it. And then most importantly, and it's time to talk about orange juice. Remember, you know, you could have orange juice on the coffee table, right? And you can pour yourself a nice glass of orange juice, and you have a bunch of friends there in the room, and you can be like, oh man, I enjoy this orange juice so much. I enjoy it so much, but maybe you should offer the orange juice to everybody else. Well, think of the Cultural Hall as that very same orange juice, and share us if there's an episode or episodes or a blog post or anything that you really enjoy. Please share us either on your own social media or, you know, talk to people about it. If people still do that, you can text about it. That's a great way to do it. Whenever I hear about people sharing it in their ward, that makes me nervous. But if it applies, if you feel like the spirit so directs, I mean, go ahead. Yeah, share it that way. Or at least recommend people check it out. Maybe in the Cultural Hall at church, you know, during a basketball game or something like that. A little ward ball. You could be like, hey, have you checked out the Cultural Hall? Foul. Hey, it's a foul. 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 That might be a stretch there, but you can check it out. Anything else that I'm missing, I don't know. You can find it at theculturalhall.com. Now coming up in the second and the third block of the Cultural Hall, we talk with the folks from Mormons Building Bridges, a great organization that's doing a lot to help build a bridge between the Mormon Church and the LGBT community. So that's coming up right now, right this second. I just have to stop recording, then we'll get to the second and third block of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and it's Mormons Building Bridges joining us from episode 42 of the Cultural Hall. It's Kendall Wilcox.
Hi.
And joining us for the first time here in the Cultural Hall, it's Corey Howard.
Hi.
And I have a confession to make with you that is sort of embarrassing, Corey. In all the time that we have conversed back and forth via Facebook, I always thought you were a dude.
Everyone does.
Not because I looked at a picture and was like, oh, that person looks like a dude, and you end up being a woman, but...
Because of my name.
Because of the name, and the spelling of the name especially, I went, okay, that's a dude.
My parents were not gender specific, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
they're not restricted by gender binary, has it?
That, nice. In her role in the steering committee for Women's Building Bridges, she's sort of known as the bruiser, too. So
so watch out is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Mormons Building Bridges, let's go there. What is it?
It's a group for people to come together over the experience of being LDS and a member of the LGBT community, how it goes together, that you can still, you know, to love each other, that... You know, we can welcome LGBT people in LDS congregations.
And conversations.
Yeah,
conversations.
That too. Yeah. And that, you know, that we can find ways to still be with each other and enjoy the both experiences, sharing lives and being LDS. And
being LGBT.
I. SSA. Come on.
Too much. Can't there just be?
You know what? They were just talking about this. There is a code term for it. You just say family. That used to be years ago.
Right.
It's people would come up. I had roommates that were gay, and they'd be like, "Is she family?"
Yeah,
I love that. That's easy.
Yeah,
and it's family.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the bridge being from the LDS church to the LGBT community.
Yeah, and the LDS community, because we don't speak on behalf of the LDS church. Mm-hmm. We're not sanctioned by them. We're not sponsored or anything like that. But yeah, from just loving, faithful Mormons, both gay and straight, reaching out to the LGBT community.
How long has Mormons Building Bridges been around?
Since May of 2012.
Okay, let's talk about why and where it started.
It all started with Erica Munson, an awesome school teacher down in Sandy, mother of five.
Sandy, Utah.
And she had this idea. She's like, wait a minute, why aren't us Mormons being more proactive in showing that we actually do like gay people? Not just lip service, but we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we should have a better presence. Why don't we have any presence? There's no Mormon presence in the pride parades.
Okay.
So she's like, let's do that. So she sort of put it out there into the universe and the interwebs, and then I sort of jumped on and said, that's an excellent idea. Let's talk this through and strategize and be careful how we do this, and just organized and pulled it together. And we knew that at that moment, sort of the timing with the evolution of the Mormon church and Mormon culture, that we had reached that great tipping point of a ton of people feeling like she does, straight, faithful Mormons saying, wait a minute, I don't like this identity that we've given ourselves of being the gay-hating Christians.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of people out there. So if we do this right, we'll create this sort of galvanizing moment and image of Mormons marching in a pride parade. Like, mm-hmm. What? And then from that, it would launch into those deeper conversations of like, okay, great. So marching is nice and it is symbolic and it's emotional, but now we have to get into the tough work of having conversations that unravel all the complexity of how can you be Mormon that has, you know, the church prescribes certain beliefs and really love, not just lip service, but really love LGBT people. So from there, it's taken off. And yeah, so we started about 10 people. And then by the Pride season of 2012, the Pride March in Salt Lake City, we had about 300 marchers, which we were actually really surprised by.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew it was going to be a big moment. And so Dustin Lance Black, who was also former Mormon and he's gay, he was the grand marshal of the parade. And we all got together and said, okay, let's put the Mormons at the front of the parade behind him. And so we marched to the front and there ended up being like 300 people. And then this last year in 2013, we marched again and there were about 450 marchers, and this coming year we're planning on 500 to 700. And we've got a Facebook group presence that's gone from, like I said, about 30 of us to now there's over 4,000 of us around the country and around the world. And we're really just trying to mostly just instigate those conversations that are really tough to help people sort through all the issues and the questions.
You know, we talked about here in the Cultural Hall about the march in the parade, the Mormons Building Bridge in that 2012 parade. Talk about that experience. Were you guys both there?
Yep.
I wasn't at the 2012.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I didn't make it that day.
Well,
I made it in 2013.
Yeah.
So and that first experience, as I understand it, I know that it made international newspapers.
It did, yeah.
But being in there in that experience, talk about that.
It was super emotional for me personally. Again, me being a gay Mormon. So there's all sorts of layers to my experience that I had because I was also, you know, one of the organizers to pull it together. And we really didn't know, like, are we going to get people here? And then just to see the numbers grow as we're lining up, you know, before the Pride Parade. And they're like, whoa, like, I think there's 100 people here. And then there's 300 people. And so that was emotional and cool to sort of see what our instincts were right. That there are a ton of Mormons out there that want to make this statement. And so that was amazing and emotional. And then on a personal level, again, being gay and Mormon, to sit there and have a couple of moments to take that in of like, we're changing, you know? And having gone through years and years of my own personal experience of being gay and Mormon and feeling, you know, the typical stuff, outcast and alone and unhappy, suicidal, all that stuff, and feeling rejected by my community, to be there was, you know, surrounded by all these people was amazing. But then we also had this big concern and fear of like, but how are the gays gonna accept us? Mm-hmm. You know, because they're justifiably upset, you know, from years and years of conflict and, you know, Proposition 8, California, all of that stuff. So we were really concerned, like, are we gonna be okay? Are we gonna be safe? Are there gonna be some water bottles or some eggs flying at us? And we really we actually were proactive to say, okay, out of due diligence and responsibility, we feel the responsibility to warn everybody marching here. Like, do at your own risk.
Wear thick clothes.
And thick skin. That's not to say, like, gays are all violent, you know, but there could be some anger. But then, man, when we turned the first corner and then just started down the whole parade route, it was, I was not expecting, like, tears, like, hundreds of people in tears and then like running out of the side, you know, the sidelines of the parade into the group of Mormons just to hug people. It was like the spontaneous hugging was incredible. And that was the whole parade route. And so, yeah, it was a magical spiritual experience.
It must be, I think, sometimes a pretty difficult position to be in where it's both Mormon and gay.
It's fun.
It's seriously the best.
You should try it, Richie.
It's the biggest blast. Hey, okay, all right. Yeah. I will.
Word on the street, Richard.
Yeah, would. No, the idea where you're like, you know, you're in the gay pride parade and you feel like that should be a place where you're like, hey, we love, you know, gay people. That should be right. A comfortable place. But in that moment, you're, well, we don't know. We may have every person here not like us being here.
Yeah.
And then you go into the Mormon community and go, hey, we're Mormon folks and we love gay people. And it's like, well, we may not very well be comfortable here either.
Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we get that every single day, especially as we try to help sort of moderate the ongoing conversations. It's for a lot of people, it's just like this untenable place, like mentally, that it's so much cognitive dissonance that's what we are there for. Literally, that's what this group exists for. And the steering committee is to help people sort of hold their hand, not in a condescending way, but hold their hand through that cognitive dissonance to say, okay, totally understandable that this would be like on the Mormon side, this doesn't work. In the gay side, this doesn't work. And say, okay, but let's press into it. Let's lean into it. Let's see what we can find and see if we can make this sustainable. And it's really hard. I mean, every single day we get criticisms on both sides. You're too conservative. You don't really love us. Or you're too liberal. You're not following the prophet. It's like, okay. That's okay. Let's talk it through. Let's talk it out.
You know, because once you start thinking past an either or, there's this image of what a Mormon's supposed to be and an image of what a gay person's supposed to be. And because of ideas that have been perpetuated, a lot of people might think they can't mesh. And there are some real questions as to how they would mesh. So once you start really thinking about it, it does bring up conflict and questions that are expected. Mm. you know, and do need to be talked about.
You know, it's an interesting situation that you're in, Corey, because you aren't homosexual. You are a straight heterosexual individual.
She's an avowed straight person.
I am. I decided I'm straight.
in that choice, when I chose my sexuality,
right.
I chose heterosexuality.
They gave me a little form and I marked that box.
Yeah, you're hetero. Mm-hmm. So why in your case then? I mean, it doesn't justify it necessarily, sure, to go, okay, well, Kendall's gay, so of course he would be working through the causes and all that stuff.
I've got some skin in the game, yeah.
Yeah, why would you get involved?
Well, it just seems right. It doesn't seem, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Okay, that, how? Why?
Well, you know, I mean, and I've thought about this. Now, I do have a gay sister, but she's not LDS.
Would she like to be? Because I know some people who could.
I know. You've got a posse. Anyhow, but no, I was at this position before my sister ever came out. It just seemed, and I've thought about it, but it's kind of organic. My parents didn't preach a heavy agenda. They were LDS, but they didn't preach a lot of the heavy things you hear about abomination and all that stuff. So I never got that message. Mm-hmm. And I was in the military, so before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so there were gay people there that it was just wasn't, you know, out there, but I knew.
Yeah.
And so, but in associations, I just knew gay people, and they were just the same people as the other people I knew. So why not?
Well, yeah, why,
you know, why should there be a difference? You know, so.
And the real sort of power and energy of Mormons Building Bridges, sort of the nuclear core of the reactor, are people like Corey, Erica Munson, you know, the co-founder, and several of the other members of the steering committee that are straight, faithful LDS Mormons who, in a sense, don't have that skin in the game. They don't even have like a gay or LGBT family member or even friends. They're just drawn to this issue and this sort of the desire to resolve the conflict just because it feels right. It feels good. And that's where the real power and energy comes from, because they don't have the skin in the game.
Yeah, I think probably sociologically, if it was just a group of homosexual people, we'd be like, of course they want to build a bridge. Sure they do.
Right.
Of course.
Exactly. Yeah, that's and that's why I'm sort of, I prefer to play the role of, even though I'm here on the radio or on mic, but I try to play more of the background role of like, I'm the gay whisperer to all my straight friends out there.
I'm the gay whisperer. Coming up on AMC, the gay whisperer.
Hey.
Mormons Building Bridges just began as that group, but is now a nonprofit organization?
We have not incorporated, so the IRS doesn't know that we exist.
Okay.
We're leaning towards that direction, but we've resisted it really for the deepest philosophical reason is because, you know, within the Mormon culture and community, sort of fringe organizations that are sort of official, you know, it causes people to be uncomfortable, even with like a temple recommend interview, you know, like, do you affiliate with organizations? Da, 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 da.
I don't know, maybe.
All right, right.
There's this group.
So we lean away from this official organizing nonprofit stuff, so that it just to help people feel more comfortable, and that's true to who we are. Really, it's not just some marketing ploy. It's like, no, it's just a group of grassroots folks saying, wait a minute, we can come around, you know, congeal around this common idea and a desire to bring peace to this conflict. Let's just do that. Keep it simple.
Have you seen in your time with Mormons Building Bridges or beforehand, you talk about peace. Have you seen, I mean, always you're going to have the, we call them like internet trolls, where it's like, oh yeah, you people, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And that's just as simple as someone's ignorance online. But have you seen that elevated either physically or, you know, verbally in person, where it's escalated to that level?
So many times, yeah. And I've mentioned before.
Within members of the church towards homosexual peoples or even yourself?
Oh, yeah. Both ways. Yeah, both ways. So members of the church who come into Mormons Building Bridges and are...
Are you talking in person or online?
Well, both. Okay. Both, yeah. That they are so in support of LGBT people that they're impatient with the pace of Mormons Building Bridges or the Mormon church, that they're just... I don't want to use the words militant and strident and all that, but it's sort of, you know, that to the point where they are offensive and disrespectful to their fellow Mormons who are trying to work this stuff out themselves. But everybody does it their own pace and their own way, but they're become like militant, violent, verbally violent towards others. And then on the other side, yeah, we've definitely run into, and it's understandable, completely understandable, but folks from the LGBT community who don't want anything, they're not cool with the Mormons building bridges. Like, the very fact that you would still use the word Mormon and affiliate with that, that's a deal breaker right there. And they'll do anything to shut us down. But of course, as with any issue like that, those people are the fringe on either side, the uber conservatives or uber whatevers. That's, you know, that's a small percentage compared to the huge movable middle that are trying to just be, you know, be normal human beings who are trying to work this out.
Coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall, I want to talk about the church's most recent statement and your guys' reactions to that. And then also we'll get to know you guys some more and talk about what's coming up with Mormons Building Bridges. That's the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
It's time for the third block of the Cultural Hall, and most recently, I should say, we're visiting with the Mormons Building Bridges. That's Kendall Wilcox across the way from me, Corey Howard, who, as it turns out, is a woman, to my right. And
today,
last time I checked, the most recent statement from the LDS Church about everything to do with the homosexual debate. I call it that, I guess, in that. Gay marriage, when I say homosexual debate, that's what I mean.
Okay.
this debate, is there homosexuality? But whether or not there should be gay marriage in the state and the federal and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We here in the Cultural Hall have talked quite a bit about it because, as we were talking right before we took a break, it seems like... there is this element of, I can't be opposed to gay marriage without being a horrible person or a bigot and all of those things. And I appreciated that the LDS Church essentially came out and said, hey, everyone, how about we just are respectful a little bit towards everyone? Did you guys get that same message from that?
I tried to highlight from that official statement was pull out all those statements about civility, respect, get along. There was a lot more in that statement too, but that's where I try to focus everybody because the disagreements are obvious and they're inevitable, and we know all that. The piece that's still missing from, you know, sort of being emphasized is that genuinely we have to find ways to get along across this issue. So we're not doing a good job of it still.
It sounds to me then what your take on it is that you didn't really love the church's statement.
There were things in it to love. Yeah, I didn't have a negative response to it. It was nothing surprising. So that's why I tried to focus on the civility part, because that is surprising.
I mean, I guess there is that reiteration of, hey, you know what? We continue to not feel like this is the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we won't be having gay marriages in the church houses.
That wasn't a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, and officially... Sorry, Mormons Building Bridges. We stay out of the same-sex marriage debate, like in our Facebook and all of our statements and anything official that we do, because the church is really super clear on its stance.
Yep.
And those debates and conversations about, well, should the church change or not, are they right or they wrong, that's not the domain where we want to operate. We want to operate and help people engage with the understanding of the practice of trying to empathize and understand what is it like to be LGBT? What is it like to be LGBT and Mormon? There's so much ground to cover there that to jump into the hotly contested and conflicted debate over should we have same-sex marriage or not, there's a plenty of other venues to hash that out, mm-hmm. and they're good and they're appropriate and great. But we don't go there because we're trying to help Mormons feel safe within the context of Mormonism and all that it's supposed to be and all that it is as directed by the official church, help them operate from within that place and extend themselves out in love and empathy to gay people. Well, there's a ton of ground to cover there.
Yeah.
And the love your neighbor part, you know, and those things.
Is that somewhere?
Well, that's in the workplace and that's it in your housing and things like that. Those are things that if we can talk to each other, then all that stuff will be simpler. And if people can feel safe, like you say, if someone who doesn't feel that same-sex marriage should be legal should still feel safe reaching out and having a conversation with someone at work who is gay and not feel like that they're going to be, that they have to be defensive. But a gay person should still be able to go to work and talk about their family, too. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, if you could have that kind of neighborly attitude, mm-hmm. that would be something that we can work toward.
Yeah, before the break, you mentioned those kind of militant people on the other side, and I agree with that. I've heard some people who feel so strongly that, same-sex marriage should be okay, that mm-hmm. they're, and it's funny to me because they're so militant about it that mm-hmm. I don't know if they don't see, that they're being just as, quote, terrible or mm-hmm. worse as they throw hate speech back, and it's like, wait, I thought you didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't like it if I was doing this to you. Take a second mm-hmm. and go, oh, okay. All right. There is another side to this thing. And that's the part that drives me crazy, because it's not ever going to come if those that feel like it shouldn't be are the only ones that have to, make any sort of move or progress towards it. Yeah. Concessions towards anything. Who's going to do that? If you're in a relationship with someone where one person is giving and the other isn't, that relationship ends pretty quick.
Exactly. That's what we're all about. Exactly what you just described. Only love can conquer hate. Hate won't kill hate.
So how are you killing people with love?
Well, we have a lot of different initiatives that we support, and you can find them all on the MormonsBuildingBridges.org website.
Okay. Highlight a couple of those for me.
So for example, one of the main ones that we focus a ton of our energy into are called the community conversations.
Okay.
Where
I'm going to take a spitball guess at this. Yeah. This is a conversation in the community.
What?
Yeah.
You cracked the code.
Wow.
Da Vinci, so watch out.
Yeah, right? and they take place in public libraries across the Wasatch Front in Utah.
Okay.
And then for folks outside of Utah or outside of the Wasatch Front or who just don't want to leave their house and be with other human beings, we hold them online as well through Google Hangout and YouTube. So we broadcast, and they all happen at 7 o'clock on the third Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
And they're really, really simple how they work. We choose a sort of open-ended question as the topic.
Like what's been one in the past?
For example, the one that's happening the month of January 2013.
14.
14, wow.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what?
What?
Calendar.
No wonder I'm so behind. Should the Utah legislature pass the Utah Employment and Housing Opportunity Act, which is an amendment to an existing law that would extend protections that are already given to people based on like their religion or their sex. You can't fire somebody because they're Mormon. You can't not rent to somebody because they're Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
It will extend that out and include sexual orientation. So as a gay person, I cannot tell a straight person that they're fired because I found out they're straight.
Okay.
That's not fair. And same with housing. So that's one of the topics, the topic for January 2014. And then we bring people together. We have a few simple ground rules to keep it civil and to keep people engaged in a conversation to actually do some work. So this is not a panel discussion. This is not some presentation where we'll give some talk and tell you what to think.
Mm-hmm.
It's come together, have a desire to be curious and interested in other people who have different opinions than you do, and do some practice at learning how to, ask open-ended questions that are honest and genuine and sincere. Like, I don't get you.
Yeah. Well, because
help me understand.
Yeah, because we've got a friend who, say you're in your congregation, somebody you've gone to church with for years and years and years, and now all of a sudden you see maybe on her Facebook that she supports gay rights, or and you know, that she's supportive in her child's life and finding out how to be a gay Mormon,
uh-huh.
and she's vocal about it. What would be the best way to approach that? And sometimes you can't do it on Sunday. You know, mm-hmm. you could come to one of the conversations and ask questions, and that's why the boundaries are there, the rules are there, so that you can come with your question and not feel like, am I going to be attacked because I don't know all this stuff already?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in a room full of people that hate me.
Okay.
You know?
So yeah, the three ground rules that we've stated at the beginning of every conversation is be respectful, meaning you're not allowed to try to fix, change, persuade, debate, challenge, counsel, teach, you know, all those things that sometimes we feel like that's my right to my obligation to come and tell you how to think,
yeah.
or challenge your thinking. Or even the tough one is like, you can't try to save somebody from themselves, which comes from this sense of like sort of altruistic, like, oh, poor Richie, you're so, you know, compelled by your stupid thinking that you don't even know, you know, so I'm going to save you from yourself.
Let me help you out.
Exactly. Not allowed. That's not allowed. And so we review that guideline up front. And also another guideline is just be humble, meaning speak only from your own personal experience. Use I statements, which sounds cliche, but makes a huge difference. You can't say things like, well, we all know that this is the way it is, or everybody believes. Yeah. No, you can only say, I feel, I believe. Be humble like that. And then the last one is be curious, like genuinely curious. Show up and say, I'm not here to tell y'all what I think. I'm actually here to say, Richie, what are you thinking? Like, help me understand how your brain and your heart works, because I don't get it.
Hmm.
So those are the rules.
And so those conversations take place the third Tuesday of every month along the Wasatch Front. How long are they typically?
It's from 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time to 8:30.
Oh, so not terribly long.
No.
That's half a church block.
Exactly. Right. We aim to please.
Actually, sometimes the conversation just gets rolling, you get into some good part of the conversation, and then there's a little bit of time after, like if you've made a personal connection or you want to go a little deeper with what someone said in the group conversation, then there's a little bit of time after. You know, it's an LDS activity. There's refreshments and talking.
Of course.
Yes.
So.
Exactly.
When we come up with some sort of clever alliteration, like a linger longer or something like that.
Community conversation.
Yeah, see?
All right.
Yeah,
it works.
See? I know it.
So this is just one of about eight initiatives.
Okay, hit me with a couple other ones.
Another one's called Breaking Bread Dinners.
Okay. That sounds good.
Similar idea.
Mm-hmm. I like bread, I like breaking it.
Yeah, and then dinner.
And dinner.
So this, it's super simple. It's, hey, if you're a straight LDS person or you're a member of the LGBT community, whether Mormon or not, invite 2, 3, 4 people or one family or your neighbor to come break bread with you, have some dinner, and just talk. You don't even have to talk about like, okay, what are the issues? How do you believe? Where do you see? It's more like just sort of sidle up to the issues by talking about soccer, your kid's soccer game, and then talking about the weather and the whatever, so that you get to know each other as human beings
rather
than issues.
But the camel's nose in the tent is what that sounds like, though.
we can't see each other as our actual neighbors.
Yeah, like making friends. Because once I like you as a friend, then...
Yeah, slippery slope.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Other initiatives.
We support a program here in the state of Utah called Safe and Sound, which is to help LGBT youth who, for, you know, sadly, have been kicked out of their homes.
Or find home unsafe for
whatever
reason.
Yeah, or find home unsafe themselves because they are LGBT and it's not working and it's a bad situation. So they become homeless. And the numbers are egregiously high.
Yeah,
here in Utah. It's just sad.
Homeless and suicide, both.
Exactly. So what we do for Mormons Building Bridges is we promote that program because... you can sign up as a Mormon household. You can sign up to become a host home where you provide temporary housing for those youth, because the ultimate goal of this program is to get them back into the home, you know, get them back with the family, But sometimes it takes a little distance. You know, let's give ourselves some distance and some counseling. So the program also helps people hook up with good counseling to sort of work through the conflict and get the youth back into the home. But in the meantime, we recruit these temporary host homes of Mormon families, because a lot of Mormon youth who are LGBT, that's the safest place. Even though they might have been kicked out of their home because of Mormon beliefs, they still, I mean, at the end of the day, they're like, I'm Mormon.
Well,
I want
to feel
safe.
And they need to know that the community, that there's still a place for them in the community. It might be too hot of a situation in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might be taking it too personally. But if another family can provide some of that part that they've grown up loving and feeling secure in, then it can keep the process healthy as they discover their orientation and work it out and process where they're going.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a matter of desperation like it is if you're homeless.
Other initiatives.
Sit With Me Sunday is a really, really successful, popular one. It's growing. And what that means is you typically on the religious holidays like Christmas, Easter, we set aside a Sunday where mostly straight people, but also LGBT Mormons sign up on this big, huge roster that we have online, MormonsBuildingBridges.org, and to say, hey, come sit with me. If you don't go to church anymore or you feel really uncomfortable in the ward you do go to because people say things that are inappropriate and unkind around gay people, then come sit with me and I will sort of be your friend and make you feel safe and comfortable and welcome. And it's actually a super simple idea that just tons of people have gravitated to. And we've had people come that haven't been at church for like 20 years because of that issue and not feeling welcome. And they love it. They go and sit next to somebody, have some conversations, and they just feel welcome. And they're mostly also just so happy to like, oh, I've never really wanted to sort of go inactive, you know, but it just didn't feel safe. And it gets exhausting to sit there and feel unsafe and unwelcome.
Right. Be strong for 3 hours.
So yeah, be strong week after week. So, and just that gesture of people saying, you know what, come sit with me, or come sit with me because my bishop actually is super welcoming and open and, you know, talks about LGBT issues and people, and like, this is a safe environment. So that's been really, really popular, really successful.
And that's more than just in the state of Utah.
That is, yeah. That's around the world. Yeah, so we have people signing up all over the place. And then what we do in the steering committee is sort of do the match.com thing of trying to help people connect. It's like, okay, I live in Virginia, because people will post, okay, I live in Virginia, I want to go to church with somebody, help me find a connection. Cool. Or I live in South Carolina, I'm a straight Mormon, I want to be welcoming and you can sit next to me. So we try to hook people up that way.
Other initiatives
are we collaborate with the suicide prevention group, the National Suicide Prevention, to sponsor walks around the country that are called Out of the Darkness walks, where people can come who want to help raise awareness and help prevent suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sponsor your group, and then you do this sort of like a parade. You walk, again, just to raise awareness, spread information. And so Mormons Building Bridges is helping to sponsor groups around the country to do those walks in all the different major cities. And again, to highlight the staggeringly sad high numbers of LGBT Mormons who commit suicide. And to help prevent that by, you know, getting at the root of it and getting at the root of the misery that people live in that causes them to say, like, this is not worth it, I'm just going to check out. So that's one that we've just started this year, and we're already connected into the national organization. It's going really well.
Awesome. People can get all that information at MormonsBuildingBridges.org.
Correct.
Before I let you guys go, I want to talk briefly with you, Kendall, about your project that you've got coming out.
Cool.
This is kind of a follow-up to episode, again, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, maybe you're not a lifer here in the Cultural Hall, episode 42, where we visit with Kendall Wilcox about everything that he's done up to the point, and that was a year and a half, or maybe even 2 years ago now, what you've got going on now.
Yeah. So for the last about 3 years, we've been producing a film called Far Between.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out more at farbetweenmovie.com. And that film project, and it is like a project that encompasses the website and also this documentary film that's coming out. It'll be done this year, 2014, for sure, for
you
real.
Heard that. He said that.
Exactly. So we've been filming for 3 years, and we've interviewed around 180 people, both gay and straight, LGBT and straight, Mormon, all along the spectrum of experiences and sort of life experiences of what it's like to be LGBT and Mormon. What does that mean? What does that look like? And the real questions that we dig into in these interviews are how do people live their lives like this? And why do they make the choices that they do? And how do they live with those choices? Mm-hmm. What's at the heart of that? And how do you manage the sexual religious conflict about being gay and Mormon? And some people do it by getting married to people of the opposite sex and making that work. Some people do it by marrying people of the same sex and then they continue to go to church. Some people just completely leave the church because that's the best they can do. That, you know, they don't want to necessarily, but they do. So we've been filming that. And then, of course, with the recent events in the state of Utah in 2013, 2014, we've been filming nonstop on that. And that will...
That being the allowance for a short time,
exactly,
of same-sex marriage.
And that's going to continue to unfold over the next year and a half, right? Legally within the courts. But that, of course, has raised this issue of being gay and Mormon, you know, to the top in terms of media attention. And this conflict between the Mormon church, doctrines, policies, and the LGBT community. So we've been capturing that part of the story. That's going to be at the beginning and a little bit at the end of the film. But the majority, 90% of the film, is really just digging into these people's lives to understand how do they live? How do they live with themselves? So that we can help. The point of the film is actually to help people empathize with what it's like to be gay and Mormon, mm-hmm. but then help people in any walk of life that where they experience conflicts mm-hmm. that are so deeply embedded when they touch on your religion and your spirituality and your sexuality. That doesn't mean just like who and how you have sex. It's about your family structure, how you bond with the people that you love most, how you build your life. I mean, it's all of that stuff. So this is, at the end of the day, the film isn't just about like, oh, those gay Mormons. It's about how does anybody make reconciliations within their life and how do they live with themselves? Because a lot of people can't live with themselves. And
that's why there's
they check
those
out.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's farbetweenmovie.com.
Correct.
If people wanted to make donations towards Mormon Building Bridges or get involved, all that's available?
It is. Yeah, you can go to the website. We don't solicit donations, but we do accept donations. Just so the IRS knows that.
Yeah, it's mormonbuildingbridges.org.
.org, yeah.
And that, you can keep up on all the activities and opportunities to participate there.
Yeah.
And Facebook, which you mentioned, there's a group.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Twitter, do you guys do that?
We do tweet. Yep.
So we can follow along there. It's at...
It's Mormon... Oh,
I don't know. Corey's in charge. I don't know.
Yeah. No, Sherry does that.
Oh,
Sherry's in charge.
Sherry knows, and
obviously,
she's yelling at you guys right now.
Yeah,
it's MBB tweets.
MBB tweets.
Sure.
Okay.
So if you Google search yes. Mormon Building Bridges on Twitter, there's this cool website called Google, and that will help you find
what?
It as well. It's a new thing.
Oh, I gotta get into that.
You should check that out. It's Corey Howard and Kendall Wilcox with Mormons Building Bridges. Check it out again online, farbetweenmovie.com or mormonsbuildingbridges.org. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you very much.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be